الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Most respected elders, friends, mothers and sisters in Islam and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited before you verse 53 of Surah Az-Zumar, which is in the 24th juz of the Qur'an Kareem. And I also narrated a hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is narrated by a sahabi, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This is a very, very unique hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and according to the terminology of the muhaddithin, this hadith is called Musalsal Bil Awwaliyat. There are two terms here. One is Musalsal. Musalsal refers to continuity. And contextually, it means when a muhaddith, when he narrates the hadith, whatever was his conduct in narrating that particular hadith, his student, he observed the conduct of his teacher, and in respect of his teacher, he will conduct himself in the same way with his students. And this carries on for generations upon generations. For there are different types of musalsals. For example, you'll get a hadith that is called musalsal bil musafaha. Musafaha means to shake hands. Now when a muhaddith comes into the class, he's got students, first thing he will do is he will shake the hands of his students. Now these students will respect this practice of this ustad, and then he would also shake hands with his first set of students. The first time he meets his students, he will shake his hands. Likewise, there's a hadith, musalsal bitamari wal ma. On the day of Eid, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam distributed khajur and water, zamzam water. So the muhaddithin also practiced on that for a very long time. And this hadith is called musalsal bil awwaliyat. Bil awwaliyat means the very first time the ustad met the student. Then he narrated this particular hadith, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhumur Rahman tabarak wa ta'ala irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fil sama. The student now, in turn, when he gets his first set of students, before narrating any hadith, the first hadith he will narrate is this, Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhumur Rahman tabarak wa ta'ala irhamu man fil ard yarhamkum man fil sama. And this practice carries on for generations upon generations. Up till today, this practice also carries on where a muhaddith, when he narrates the hadith to his first set of students, then he narrates this very same hadith. And this practice started off from Hazrat Sufyan Thawri Rahmatullah Ali, or Sufyan ibn Uyayna Rahmatullah Ali. And from then it carries on right up till today. And the purpose is, although on one side you are narrating hadith, but you are imitating the conduct of your ustad to your student, and that maintain the bond with your ustad. My ustad did like this, so this is how I'm doing to you. And then those students will carry on with their students in that way. And in that way, you maintain a bond with the students. The very spiritually uplifting exercise in the field of hadith and in the academic field. And the second aspect of this, the benefit of narrating this particular hadith, مُسَلْسَلْ بِالْأَوَّلِيَّةِ, it's a reminder to the muhaddithin, reminder to people that are in the academic field. One is academics. You'll go deep into academics, but at the same time, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala inspired them to narrate this hadith first to your students while to engage in academics. At the same time, be propagate and should tell to the people about how to show love and muhabbat, affection to the creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Now this hadith, there's two parts to this hadith. Ar-Rahimun yarhamuhumur Rahman tabarak wa ta'ala. It speaks about Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's quality of rahmat, Allah's quality of mercy. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. We are the from Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah. That is our aqeedah, Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We belong to that fact. And it is our aqeedah. Allah is one. Allah got many sifat, Allah got many qualities. And the qualities are in the Quran al-Kareem. Allah refers to many of his qualities in the Quran al-Kareem. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And the reason why we need to remind ourselves on this aqeedah of ours, there are certain deviated sects. They believe that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is one, but Allah got no sifat, Allah got no qualities. And they believe that if you attribute quality to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then that leads to ta'addud ilah, it leads to plurality of gods. That means now, it is not one Allah, there are many Allahs, and that leads to kufr and shirk. We, the Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we disagree with that. We believe Allah is one, but a person can be one, he can have many qualities as well. There could be Zayd, Zayd could be a generous person. Zayd could be a brave person, but that doesn't make two Zayds, it's still one Zayd. So there's one Allah, and Allah got many sifat, Allah got many qualities. And this is such an important aspect, that a person that is not from the Ahle Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he can never get the recognition of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Because we can only recognize Allah through the sifat and the qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One person, he has manufactured a product. Now, how is he going to advertise the product? He's going to speak about different angles and different dimensions, the benefit of that particular product. And then the public will get caught up onto it and they'll go buy the product. How are we going to attach ourselves to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala if Allah is not going to tell to us who Allah is? And therefore, Allah tells, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah got beautiful names. And Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Kareem, Allah is Shakur, Allah is Zul Jalali wal Ikram. And when we ponder on the different qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, go deeper into it. And through that, we would get the recognition of Allah, and we know who is that Allah that we are worshipping, who is our Khaliq, who is our Bari. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, in the very last chapter, last book of Bukhari Sharif, he speaks about the various qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, sifat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And for every sifat, every quality of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Imam Bukhari presents hadiths upon hadiths, hadiths upon hadiths. It is as though Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi takes us on a tour of the sifat and the qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And he tells us, come, I tell you who Allah is. Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, Allah is Shakur, Allah is Zul Jalali wal Ikram. For everyone, he would quote hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the time you complete that particular chapter, you got full ma'rifat and recognition of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is, if you really believe and have conviction, truly study it, then we'll end up having the ma'rifat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah grant every one of us love and muhabbat and ma'rifat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this particular hadith, the first part, Ar-Rahimun Yarhamuhumur Rahman tabarak wa ta'ala. It speaks about the quality of rahmat, the quality of mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one verse of the Quran Kareem in Surah Az-Zumar, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala speaks about His mercy. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tell to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you announce to the people on my behalf. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ O slaves of mine who have trespassed the limits, violated my ahkam, committed various sins, drowning in sins. You don't need to despair. La taqnatu bi rahmatillah. We are not dealing with the Allah that is not merciful. Don't become despondent of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. Irrespective of the type of sin that we have committed, inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. You can come with sins equivalent to the dust in the desert, foams in the sea, with the entire content between the sky and the earth, come with a load of sins. Allah will not look at a sin. You turn to Allah and asking the rahmat of Allah, then the rahmat of Allah is greater than our guna and our sins. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Innahu huwa al-ghafurur rahim. Allah is forgiving, Allah is most merciful. That is our Allah. One Allah, but just one quality of Allah is sufficient for us to attach ourselves to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. What about all the other sifat and the qualities of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? What a beautiful Allah we have. Where we will get an Allah like our Allah? In the Quran Kareem, there's 114 surahs. And you will observe, between every two surahs of the Quran Kareem, there is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the exception of Surah At-Tawbah, that is in the 10th juz of the Quran Kareem, but that is covered up with another Bismillah, Innahu min Sulaiman wa Innahu Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So again, that makes it 114 Bismillahs in the Quran Kareem. Imagine 114 times before commencing the chapter and the contents of the chapter, Allah is telling us, see, I'm Allah, I'm Rahman and Rahim. I'm merciful. My mercy is encompassing. Repeatedly. So the Quran Kareem gives us a very positive message. Injects positivity in us. We should not inject negativity in people. Draw the people more closer towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that is the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In fact, in Surah An-Naml, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gives us the incident of the ant. How merciful an end to us. At the time of Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he was traveling with his huge, powerful, gigantic army. There were ants that were moving around. Now if Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam with his army at walk, they will just trample upon the ants. The ants won't even know anything. But look at the attitude of this one ant. It was merciful, showing mercy, concern for the other ants. It was not selfish. It was not self-centered. It wasn't worried about its own self. It called out, Ya ayyuhan namlu dhulu masakinakum. La yahtimannakum Sulaiman wa junuduhu wa hum la yash'urun. O ants, that this ant was able to perceive Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam and the army coming. That ant could have went away in the hole itself. But it wasn't selfish. It showed mercy toward the other ants and it announced, O ants, Sulaiman is coming with his army. Take refuge in your people's holes. If you all don't, Sulaiman will and his army will come. They'll trample upon you and Sulaiman and his army will not even know what they have done. When we sometimes walk, we trample upon ants, we don't even know what we have done. This attitude of this ant Showing love and care towards fellow ants is so beloved by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah mentions it in the Quran Kareem. And from this we also understand, you don't have to be a big person to show mercy to people. Ant was small. So you don't have to be a big person to show mercy. You can be a small person too, small in relation to people. You can still show mercy to people and earn the rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us so many examples of how merciful is Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Just show a few examples and then I want to convey a message. In the hadith, Hadha Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created 100 portions of mercy. 99 portions of mercy Allah would help with himself. And one portion of mercy Allah sent it on earth. Now wherever anyone shows love and care, affection to anyone, whether it is an animal in the animal kingdom, whether it is a fish in the ocean, whether it is a human being, or whether it is a horse to its minor, every mercy is a reflection of just 1% of the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The remaining 99 portions, Allah would held it to show to the believers in Jannah. From this we understand the extent of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed there was a female prisoner. She was breastfeeding a child. Somehow the child got missing, or the child got lost itself from the mother. Now, this female prisoner, she was breastfeeding a child. Normally when a woman is breastfeeding, there's milk in the breast, and until she does not release that milk, she don't feel at ease. There's a feeling of uneasiness. So that mother was traveling up and down, until when she got hold of a child, she grabbed the child and she put the child onto the breast. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed the conduct of this particular woman. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then addressed the sahaba and told to them, that do you all think that this mother, who loves her child so much, she became uneasy when she saw the child. When she got the child, she attached herself to the child. Do you think that this mother is going to put this child into a fire? Never. It'll never happen. That's the extent of the love that the mother has for the child. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Allahu arham bi'ibadihi min hadihi. Allah is more merciful upon his creation than what this mother is to her child. This is the extent of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In the books of hadith, another incident is mentioned. One sahabi, he happened to go under one tree. And he noticed in a nest there are some fledglings. Small birds. The mother was probably gone out somewhere, probably to go look for food. So this sahabi, he took this fledglings and he wrapped it in his chadar. He had a small chadar in the corner of it. He wrapped it up in there and he came with it to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now from the tree he left and he was coming to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the time the mother came to the nest, the mother noticed the fledgling is not there. She went out in search. She sensed her children is inside the chadar. And that bird, that mother is just hovering over that particular sahabi, until when the sahabi came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Prophet of Allah, I brought something. And I got this bird inside here. And Nabi Kareem said, observe, the mother is on top, hovering. The mother couldn't do anything because the fledglings are inside the chadar, inside the sheet. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told the sahabi, open up the chadar. Open it up. And the fledglings then were left on the ground. The mother came and just attached itself to the fledglings. And it didn't move away. It didn't pick up the child, the fledglings. It remained there. So that's when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he addressed the sahaba and he told them to see how this mother, how loving it is to a child. Allah is more loving to his fledgling, to his baby. Allah is more loving to his creation than that. In the books of hadith, there's a hadith called hadith as-siqt. Siqt refers to an unborn child, or when a woman is pregnant and she miscarries the child. That is called sickness, a dropped child, a miscarried child. Now, because Allah created that, the child did not come in the world on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi Kareem Sahib explains, on the day of Qiyamah. Probably the parents of that particular child, miscarried child, fetus, is doomed to go to Jahannam. Doomed to go to a fire of hell for whatever wrong they have done. Yes, of course, they have iman. This child will come and attach itself to the mother and the father. Now, when the parents will present themselves, either the father, the mother, or both of them, present themselves in the court of Allah, Allah will condemn them to go to Jahannam. That child, that sikht, that miscarried child, that fetus, will attach itself to the parents. And then it will enter into a discussion, so to say, an argument with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah, how can you put my parents into Jahannam? I'm the flesh and blood of them. You put their love into my heart. How can I bear and tolerate that they in Jahannam and I remain in Jannah? Allah will say, but they have committed this crime and that crime, this crime and that crime. And they have to go into Jahannam to cleanse themselves. Finally, that fetus will then tell to Allah, after pleading to Allah, Allah, if they have to go into Jahannam, for the love that I have of my parents, the love that you put in my heart for my parents, if they have to go into Jahannam, then instead of me being in Jannah, put me into Jahannam with them. Allah's rahmat will come into full force, and Allah will say, it is possible for me to forgive someone for nothing, but it's not possible for me to punish someone for nothing. Go, take your parents and go into Jannah and paradise. This is the extent of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The second part of the hadith, irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama. Allah is Rahman and Rahim. Not for no reason. We love Allah, and a beloved does what the lover does. Allah shows rahmat and mercy, we also show rahmat and mercy. That's why the hadith says, see, الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. Rahman, Allah is merciful. So irhamu man fil ard. That have mercy upon those people that are on earth. Allah who is Rahman will have mercy upon you. There's one hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam is reported to have mentioned, "Man nafasa al mu'minin kurbatan min kurabi dunya, nafasa Allahu anhu kurbatan min kurabi yawm al-akhirah, yawm al-qiyamah." Or kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This hadith also a very unique hadith. This hadith is called Jawami'ul Kalim. Jawami'ul Kalim is that hadith, that speciality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi speak about five specialities, and one speciality, Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, Uti to Jawami'ul Kalim. I am given Jawami'ul Kalim. It refers to, I speak little, but there is a wealth of information in the few words that I mentioned. That is called Jawami'ul Kalim. Short, brief words, but there is a wealth of information and content in the words that I speak. So this hadith is also from among that, Jawami'ul Kalim. Short, brief hadith, Nabi Sallallahu mentioned that, مَنْ نَفَّسَ أَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ كُرْبَةً مِنْ كُرَبِ الدُّنْيَا. That person who removed, and the word نَفَّسَ refers to giving breath. You know, sometimes a person with his problem and difficulties in life, he's breathless. You come to the rescue of the person and you allow him to breathe. You give him a breather, نَفَّسَ. You let him breathe, you help him and you assist him. And the hadith speaks about a small difficulty. You remove a small difficulty, Allah appreciates it so much that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will remove major difficulties for you on the day of Qiyamah. So, this is what rahmat and mercy is all about. No, we don't only hope for the rahmat and the mercy of Allah, we want the rahmat and the mercy of Allah, we must show mercy to mankind on earth as well. In Bukhari Sharif, there's a famous incident about the woman and the dog. An immoral woman. The hadith actually speaks about fahisha, immoral woman. And when we refer to it, is that woman who normally sells her body. How much more immorality can there be in a woman than that? But the hadith also teaches us that even when we come across such people, don't look down upon them. You will never know what that particular person does that earns the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. An immoral woman, she happened to go to a well, she drank some water, and as she was passing by, she noticed there's a dog that is thirsty. Dog that is thirsty. Now, firstly, dog is najisul ayn, impure. But she noticed the dog, that the tongue is sticking out of the mouth, and it is panting for breath. She felt sorry for the dog. She had leather socks, so she took out the leather socks, and she put it inside the well, and somehow she pulled out water from the leather socks, and then she actually went to the dog, and she, from the leather socks, she took, started taking water and sipping it, putting it into the mouth of the dog. Immoral woman. Evil of the highest caliber. But she showed rahmat and mercy to a creation of Allah, a dog. And that invoked the rahmat and mercy of Allah. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem started to mention, Allah is shakur. Allah is appreciative. Allah valued that. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala forgave that woman. And on the other side, in the hadith, the incident about a cat. There was Hadhrat Mufti Ahmad Khampuri Sahib Baddazilluhu, he gives an incident about one very pious person. Sometimes we do good deeds, and we think that when we stand in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, then we will pass with flying colors. It may not be like that. We should not focus on the good deeds that we have done. Don't think that we sat in i'tikaf, so that is now, I understand the court of Allah, I'm going to fly, would go with flying colors. Yes, we hope of the rahmat and mercy of Allah, but don't focus on that. Focus on the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. So, one pious person passed away. And when he stood in the court of Allah, somebody saw him in the dream after and asked him, how did you fare with Allah? So I stood in the court of Allah and Allah asked me that, what did you come with? You came before me, what did you come with? Now remember, he's a pious person. Now when such, this is a very difficult question. If Allah has to ask you, what did you come with? If you have to go meet a very big person, and there's various things you can offer that big person, and a big person has to ask you, what did you come with? Now, you'll be very careful. Would you answer? You don't know what to say. You give any answer, you don't know it will be scrutinized. So this person thought. And then he told to Allah, Allah, I came with Tawheed. Tawheed, belief in your oneness. This is the greatest ibadat. And that's what Iman is all about. You come with Tawheed. So Allah told him, you remember that night of the sour milk? You remember the night of the sour milk? What was it? One night, he drank sour milk and his stomach got upset. And he made the statement, because I took the sour milk, my stomach got upset. Now, from the worldly point of view, from the asbab point of view, it's true. You took sour milk, it's going to upset your stomach. But our aqidah is that everything happens directly with the will and the order of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It is our aqidah. Saaduddin Taftazani rahmatullahi teaches us this. He explained in Sharul Aqaid, you know when a container falls, a glass falls. It falls from the top. Naturally you say, why it broke? It broke because it fell from the top. But Saaduddin Taftazani explained to us an aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that when the glass breaks, it did not break because it fell from the top. It broke because Allah willed it to break. Because it is possible, if Allah wants the glass to fall from the top, it may not break. That is our aqidah. So Allah asked this person, oh, so you came with Tawheed. You remember the night of the sour milk? And the person was embarrassed. What Tawheed this is about? Everything is supposed to attribute to Allah. And when he started shivering, Allah then told to him that I forgave you. One night, on a cold winter's night, there was a cat that was shivering. You felt sorry for that cat. You took that cat in your house. You showed it love and comfort. You put a blanket over it. You saved that cat from shivering. You shivering today, I'll give you comfort, I've forgiven you. This is rahmat and mercy. And this is what we should be showing to the people. Remove difficult, help the people to the best of your ability. Sometimes you have business, your expertise, use that as your business for the akhirat and show love and mercy to people.
In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us, on one occasion he was sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody brought him a branch of a khajur tree. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first asked the Sahaba a question. He says that, you'll know of any tree that's like a Muslim. You'll know of any tree like a Muslim. Sahaba always there. Abdullah ibn Umar was also there. So, the Sahaba started thinking about various trees in the forest. Which tree could be like a Muslim? Then, Abdullah ibn Umar was there. He said the thought did come to his mind that Rasulullah, that it refers to a khajur tree. Khajur tree. So, later on, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that see this khajur tree, it is like a Muslim. At night, Abdullah ibn Umar was returning home with his father, Father Umar. He told to his father, my father, you know when Nabi sallallahu asked this question, it crossed my mind that it is a khajur tree, but I felt ashamed to answer in the presence of so many great Sahaba. Umar radiallahu ta'ala told to his son Abdullah ibn Umar, I as a father, if you would have answered in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I would have felt proud that you give the right answer to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Inna shajaratun mislul Muslim. That there is a tree that's like a Muslim, and that's a khajur tree. Muhaddiseen explain that this khajur tree, it teaches us a lesson. When we're eating khajur, then we should think about the khajur tree. And what is the outstanding quality of the khajur tree? Nothing of the khajur tree is wasted. It is useful, beneficial in every way. The trunk is useful, the branch is useful, the khajur is useful, everything of the khajur is useful. Nabi Kareem meant to tell us that be like a khajur tree. Be useful, be beneficial for mankind. Some ulama mentioned that our attitude in serving, when we look at a candle, it burns itself to give light to others. That is what we're supposed to be. And when we give light to others, Allah will give light to us. Allah will help us. Allah will assist in the akhirah. This is one quality we should try to inculcate within ourselves. That create softness in us. Don't be hard. Don't be harsh. Don't be ghalizul qalb. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been told, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَزًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. O Muhammad, don't be hard-hearted. Don't be hard. Don't come out very strongly on people. Learn how to conduct yourself with people. Wife, children, friends, associate. You may have differences, but there are ways of addressing issues. Be soft, be loving, be compassionate. O Muhammad, if you are hard, all the people that are around you, they'll fly away from you. لَنْ فَدُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فَعَفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرُمْ فِرَمْ. Forgive people. Somebody hurt you, seek forgiveness. And not only that, the person that hurt you, make mashwara with the same person. Just dil joyi ke liye. To be soft to make that person happy. Allah inculcate in us the softness in our heart for mankind, for every creation of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Allah is soft. We are, and we show softness to people. Softness of Allah will be manifested in us in this dunya and the akhirat. Allah grant us tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.